This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience, Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent. Good morning, Ashley.
Buongiorno, John. Happy to be here today.
Pope at his general weekly audience, our billboards on Relevant Radio say, you are not alone. And that's something that the Holy Father talked about at the audience, about never being alone.
That's right, because he reminded us that we always have the opportunity to dialogue with God in prayer. And prayer was really the focus of today's audience. And in fact, the Pope called it the golden thread that runs through all of our lives. He spoke about David, King David, and he said that we'll look at the story starting in Bethlehem, where David is just a simple shepherd, and he is working with his father's flocks. He's enjoying the beauty of nature. And then the Pope went on to talk about Christ as the good shepherd, who, of course, will give his life for his sheep that he knows by name. But even though David was a shepherd, we understand that his number one priority was to defend others from danger, to provide for their sustenance. Still, we remember that later in life, when he falls in love with Bathsheba, he is willing to have a man killed in order to take his wife. And it's then that he understands that he has become sick with sin. And so it's from that point that we are reminded of God's mercy and forgiveness. Now, the Pope went on to talk about David also from the perspective of him as a great artist, of course, as the author of the Psalms. In fact, he said that David had a poet's soul because with his harp always by his side, even though he was in solitude, he would play and sing to the Lord. And of course, he would express joy and sorrow and repentance. And in all of the Psalms, he was expressing the mystery that he saw in the world around him. And so Pope Francis went on to then relate that to prayer, that in prayer, we have the opportunity to look at the mysteries around us and to dialogue with God about it. And it will then inspire poetry and music and gratitude and praise. It will inspire lamentation and even supplication between, as we pray to our God. So with that said, he went on to remind us that just like David, we all have that opportunity to pray and to remember that we can share with God our joy. It doesn't only have to be when we need something, when we're feeling guilt, when we're suffering. We should also share our love. He says we should share our friendship, and we should remember that God is always listening to us. So the final thing that the Pope said today in the audience was that we must remember that just like David, we may be in solitude, but John, we are never alone.
Ashley Nerona with a recap of the Pope's general weekly audience live from Rome this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on a very important feast day in the church. This is the feast day, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And I know that there are always big celebrations in Rome. However, this year with the COVID-19 pandemic, how will Rome celebrate this feast day?
Well, you know what? We'll leave it to the Italians to never let the opportunity to celebrate a great feast day pass. There will indeed be things happening. And indeed, it started this morning at the audience when Pope Francis mentioned that St. John the Baptist, as well as King David, they both had the ability to draw people's attention to the true God. And so we should look to their examples, especially in the way that they were able to encourage the faithful, so that we do that for the people around us, that we encourage people on this great feast day, and that especially to seek God's friendship in prayer and to bring men and women to God. Now, how his feast day will be celebrated? Well, yes, John, as you can imagine, there's a little damper on things. But for one thing, here in Rome, people will visit the Church of San Silvestro in Capite, which there is a relic of the skull of St. John the Baptist there. Now, in different cities, though, there are still things happening. So, for example, the cities of Florence, Genova, and Turin all have St. John the Baptist as their patron. So all three of those cities decided that they would, across the miles, have sort of a communal celebration. There's the two cardinals and the archbishop of those dioceses have written together a special message for the people. The message talks about the figure of John the Baptist as the precursor to Christ. It talks about his life as a model in service of the truth. And of course, the fact that he was faithful to that until his death, until his martyrdom. So with that, the letter goes on to then speak about the great community efforts of the churches throughout this time of emergency and how people have come together to help with the task now of revitalizing the cities. So in the meantime, there are different masses and celebrations going on in a more simple manner. For example, all processions have been canceled. But down in Sicily, in a town called Chiarmanti Golfi, they're having adoration throughout the day. They're encouraging people to come in and light candles there in front of a statue of St. John the Baptist. And then later today, they are going to have a special ceremony with a reconsecration of the city to the patron saint, St. John the Baptist, by the mayor today. And there's another interesting tradition that happens this time of year, which is that as walnuts are growing, where they are not yet ripe, but there's a tradition to go walnut picking at this time and to take those walnuts, those not yet ripe walnuts, and to immerse them in alcohol, add some cinnamon, add some cloves. And it's usually called the nocino, the drink of St. John the Baptist, since it's around his feast day that it's made. And the idea is that when folks have a little taste of this drink, they feel fortified with the strength of St. John the Baptist himself. So as we continue in this strange reality, John, we see that the faith marches on.
Indeed. What's that recipe again, Ashley?
Yes, indeed. We'll have to put it on the Facebook page. Just a little cinnamon, a little bit of cloves, and these not yet ripe walnuts. There you go. In alcohol.
In alcohol. Any kind of alcohol.
In alcohol, yeah.
Okay. Right. What do you have in the bar, Glenn, that we can make this drink with? Because I've got the cinnamon and the cloves, and I think Patrick, our producer, has the walnuts. So we'll make that.
Diet Sunkist.
Okay, there you go. Diet Sunkist. That's perfect. That's the beverage of morning air with Ashley Narona here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app live from Rome. You know how sometimes you see a story on television and it just catches your eye and you kind of do a double take? It's like, well, wait a minute. Did I hear this correctly about an Italian woman making this olive dish during something that you wouldn't expect someone to make a dish during? What was she doing when she was making this dish?
John, could you possibly mean during brain surgery?
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, that can't possibly be true that a woman makes an olive dish during brain. How is that possible?
And yet it is. These are what we call only in Italy moments. So imagine this, John. A 60-year-old Italian woman had to have a brain tumor removed. Now, she is from the Abruzzo region of Italy, and one of her personal specialties is that she loves to make a particular type of olive dish called olive ascolane. So let me explain it to you first. So imagine this. These are meat-stuffed, breaded, and fried olives. And the whole tradition goes back to the early 1800s, and it comes from an area called Ascoli Piceno. And this is in the Marche region of Italy. And the story is that cooks of wealthy families used to create these as a way to use leftover meat from feasts. So what happens is that it's quite painstaking. It really takes a lot of dexterity as well, because you have to cut away the pit in every olive in this nice, perfect spiral shape. And then where the hole is, this is where you actually stuff this mixture of different meats, veal, pork, chicken, beef. And then the meat, by the way, it's been stewed in white wine. It has a Parmigiano Reggiano cheese added, a little bit of nutmeg, and into the olive it goes. And then, of course, it's breaded and later fried. Now, I'll tell you, as a spoiler alert, there was no frying done in the operating theater. But nevertheless, so this woman, during the entire surgery where the tumor was being removed from her left temporal lobe, she was preparing Olive Ascolane. Now, this neurosurgeon who performed the surgery has actually, at this point, done around 60 operations with patients actually conscious. And he encourages them to engage in other activities. So this way, they can monitor the brain function as they're actually doing the surgery. So in fact, he's even had a patient play the violin for about the hour-long procedure. So just fascinating. She managed to make 90 of these Olive Ascolane. So all I could think about was the wonderful feast that her family must have had after this successful surgery, enjoying these olive prepared by her with lots of love.
Wow, that is a fascinating story, and also a fascinating story from a medical standpoint of how this brain surgeon works. Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Some of the color that comes from Italy, the latest news from Rome, the Vatican, and yes, some great stories of color as well from Ashley Narona, our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, her husband John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, and that provides Renaissance style theological formation for visitors to Rome, and you can learn more at truthandbeautyproject.com. The website is truthandbeautyproject.com. Our best to John, and we'll talk to you next week, Ashley. Thank you.
I sure look forward to it. God bless.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.